Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramonte Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, crime is up in Prince George's County. Carjacking skyrocketing with a good number of those incidents and crimes committed by teens. Officials in the county, they are pressed to find some kind of solutions, one that they hope might make a difference. Will go into effect on Friday, a curfew for youth 17 and under. Now, will that bring crime down, or will it negatively impact parents who are struggling to keep their wayward teens on the straight and narrow? That and many more questions we're going to address tonight. We're going to dive into the issue of curfews and crime in Prince George's County. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. 7810. We'd like to hear from you. Joining us for our conversation tonight, George Hodge. He's a youth advocate and founder of Community Kinship Coalition Incorporated, based in Prince George's County. And Patrick Washington. He's a parent in Prince George's County and executive director of Dialect of Prince George's County. Again, we'd like you to be part of our conversation. Phone lines are open. Give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. 7810. Mr. Hodge, Mr. Washington, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Hodge, I'm going to start with you. Let's just get right to it. Curfews, will it work? Do they work?
Well, I think curfews do have their benefits. There's a benefit to having curfews. It's just organizing and making sure that everyone understand the ground rules of what their curfew is about and how we should abide by both in this case, the young people that will have to adhere to the curfew and the individuals who are responsible for making sure that they understand and follow the guidelines, which are their parents.
How about you, Mr. Washington? Do you see them being impactful positively or negatively?
I'm kind of two minds in this situation. As a parent, I can understand where they're coming from in the interest of safety. You know, we sometimes as a parent, we get into a space where things get out of hand and you have to yell out, everybody freeze, don't move. And you kind of hit reset. And I understand the county doing that for safety, but you do it so proper information can be relayed, you do it so assistance can be given to people, and all that's fine. But as a youth advocate myself, I know it feels oppressive, you know, particularly if these policies become the norm. So we have to be careful about that. It's a slippery slope.
Now, this curfew is not new. It's been around since 95, but it hasn't been, really enforced in a few decades. Do you feel that the county and officials there and maybe even county executive also Brooks, in some ways their hands were tied, that they had to do something, and this is maybe just a short-term fix? That's for you, Mr. Washington.
I feel like it was an easy go-to. We're in the post-pandemic world where everything got shut down. It seemed like a natural reaction. It seemed easy to kind of just go back to what we've been doing, which is essentially to just shut everything down and hopefully you can reset. But I don't know how effective it's going to be.
And again, we should emphasize that this curfew is not new. It initially was instituted back in 1995, and we do know that D.C. has had curfews. Mayor Barry had instituted one at least once when he was the mayor. George Hodge, tell me a little bit about, the focus here is on youth, 17 and under. You have to be, off the streets unless you are with your parents. On the weekends and during the week, Sunday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., you can't be out. And then the same time on Fridays and Saturdays. What is happening with the youth? Friday and Saturday actually is midnight to 5 a.m. what is happening with youth in Prince George's County, and is this an unfair focus on them?
Well, I don't think it's a unfair focus, especially when you're talking about the subject at hand. What we're up against, you know, a drastic increase in crime, violence, murder, carjacking, the whole nine. I think when we're talking about this curfew, just like some of our leaders have already touched upon, it's going to take a collaborative effort to enforce this. It's not just young people being forced to or put in a position to stay at home. I think it's going to take a collaborative effort from our leadership. It's going to take an effort from our organizations that are in the community, work with young people. And it's going to take it's going to take a whole melting pot of organizations to come together and try to put something constructive together for these young people to stay at home. Because if it was easy for them to really stay at home, I don't think they would be out in the street. And I don't want to put that blame on the parents, but there's got to be some accountability, as they had mentioned in their press conference. There's got to be accountability. But at the same time, I think everyone's going to need the proper tools to work with in order to make this thing effective and, most importantly, give some lifetime alternatives to these young people who are being caught up in the streets and being victimized, in which we all have been victimized by this crime, this increasing crime.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the curfew that's in Prince George's County, the crime, and just now we're talking about parents and the role that they play. Parents, where are you in this? Have you found it difficult to control your teens, or do you think this is something where too much pressure is being put on parents to try to, even if you have a teen who's struggling, to keep them in the house, and you feel like too much now is coming back on you? And this isn't just about the regular folk. We have people out there who have means, who are entertainers, who are having the same issue with teenagers, maybe not curfews. The entertainer T.I. Was on Instagram, and he was addressing some criticism that was coming his way. His teenage son has gotten into trouble, and he was talking about what it means for him, what it means for his son, and the criticism that he's been getting on his parenting.
I know my son. Think I ain't spoke to my son. Think I ain't told my son, his mama, and his grandmamas. His ass going to prison. Keep that up, his ass going to prison.
Nothing.
Ain't no way around it. Ain't nothing I'm going to be able to do about it. Can't nobody stop it but him.
So, Patrick, you know, this is just one parent talking about, look, the pressures of trying to control a teenager. And so if you have a curfew, we do know these teenagers know other teenagers who have cars. As one parent said, you can lock the door. A teenager can unlock the door and leave the house. Teenagers can climb out of windows. and so when we're talking about the effectiveness of curfew, studies have shown, and the ones I've read, I haven't really seen too many to say that they've been effective. So where do we go with this? And more importantly, I'm kind of asking you a couple questions in one, but let me get to this main one about parenting. Is this sort of putting undue emphasis on parenting and what they can control once you're dealing with teenagers? Because some parents say, look, I'm working. I'm doing all I can do, and now you're telling me I got to keep my teen off the street. I might be working, and I don't know where the teen is.
Right, right. I mean, no, I totally get it. Parents are not off the hook, myself included. I have three teenagers living in the county, and it's a struggle. It's a struggle for all of us. We live in a system where you've got to hustle, right, in order to barely make it, and nobody can be in two places at once, right? But something's got to give, and if you don't have a strong structure around them to hold them down, you know, you better believe that there's another structure that will take its place, and it just might be the street. So what I think what I would love to see happen, and I don't know, maybe this is just a dream. We may be too far gone, but I would like to see a return of the village. You know, the return of those neighbors and family members looking out when you can't, you know, as a positive factor in our communities. Too often we're looking at our neighbors with distrust nowadays. And I think, and that includes teachers as well. So I think there's a lot of things that could happen, but we have to start looking out for each other.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the crime and the uptick in Prince George's County and measures to try to combat that. And one way is to institute a curfew, which will go into effect in the county starting on Friday. We'd like to hear from you, parents, teens, those involved, educators, activists, advocates, those who are knee-deep in this issue in terms of getting our teenagers on the right track, and whether or not this curfew is unduly putting an emphasis on crime on teenagers. 202-319-7810. Let's go to the phone lines. And Tony calling from Fort Washington. Go right ahead, Tony, with your comment or question. Tony, are you there? All right, Tony, will give us a call back. Let's go to Sharonda calling from Forestville. Go right ahead, Sharonda.
Hello. Thank you for this opportunity. I, too, wear multiple hats. I am a parent, a former educator, a volunteer with Prince George's Parks and Recs, because I, too, believe in the village as approach. I also agree that the curfew is just a temporary solution, maybe for emergency situations, but it is not, it should not be viewed as a long-term solution. Our children need our support. They need the community to come together. They need situations or programs that will allow them with outlets, allow them with encouragement and inspiration versus punishing or penalizing the parent because we don't have programs for them or opportunities for them to learn and engage after hours. So I just feel like this curfew is not a long-term solution. We should not be preparing them for institutionalized situations. We should be encouraging and supporting the parents who have at-risk youth and not penalizing them and thinking that they're the problem. Let's just put them in a situation where they're just going to lead to institutional situations later.
Sharonda, do you have, if I can ask, do you have teenagers?
I have a 26-year-old son who graduated from Wise. And the reason that this just speaks to me so personally is because I remember my son went from Drew Freeman to Suitland before we moved to Forestville. And I remember sitting in the parent orientation and having the administrator tell the parents that after the age of 16, if your child is a problem for me, I don't have to educate them. Hmm. I remember sitting there like, what does that mean? What happens if my child decides that or acts out, and for whatever reason, and fortunately I didn't have that situation, but what about our parents who don't know where to turn? If you're sitting in a meeting and finding out that if your child is a problem or deemed a problem because maybe they have learning difficulties and then they're put out of the school, then they want to consolidate alternative programs. So I just feel like we're not providing our children with the support that they need, so why institute a curfew when you haven't done anything else?
Thank you so much, Sharonda. George, what was your response, to Sharonda's comments about, you know, we talked a little bit about this being, you know, short term and whether or not, you know, from a long term standpoint, really what should be done. And we can get into more, you know, what maybe the county should be doing. But when you hear a parent say there should be more things for teens, and that things is a broad kind of, you know, word. And so where do you move when you hear parents say that the teens need more things to do? What do you believe those more should be if you agree with what Sharonda is saying?
I agree with Sharonda, and I also agree with Mr. Washington, especially when we start talking about the village. I mean, this is a prime opportunity for, again, our political leadership to come together, our community-based organizations that deal with youth, our Maryland National Park and Planning, Parks and Recreation to come to the table and create an atmosphere for young people to learn and thrive and be able to make critical decisions or develop critical thinking skills. There's a small percentage of...
George, hold your thought, because I want you to finish this. I want you to be able to really expound on this, because we got to take a quick break. But we're going to catch up with you. But don't forget, all of you out there, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone line, that's Antoine. Stay right there. We're going to get to you. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on 96.3 WHUR. Our conversation continues on SiriusXM Channel 141. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight we're talking about the curfew that will go into effect in just a few days, Friday to be exact, in Prince George's County, as county officials are trying to combat the uptick in crime that is happening in Prince George's. George Hodd, he's a youth advocate and founder of Community Kinship Coalition in Prince George's County, and Patrick Washington is a parent in the county and executive director of Dialect of Prince George's County. They're our guests tonight, and we have you on the phone lines. If you're a parent, if you're a teen, if you're an advocate, if you're an activist in dealing with teenagers and trying to make sure they're on the straight and narrow and not get involved in any issues, that they may get caught up in things of when there are curfews and are not supposed to be out, we want to hear from you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. George, you were finishing your point about what Sharonda had to say about activities and things for teens to do, so maybe curfews won't be necessary.
Well, again, I agree with Sharonda and Mr. Washington. This is an opportunity for our leadership to come together, our grassroots organizations that deal with youth, our schools. It's a perfect time to bring these organizations and these individuals together to build parameters around these young people and support systems that will help them develop critical thinking skills, that will keep them out of the streets, that will keep them in a position where they know how to make the right decisions in a split second. This is the perfect time for all of us to come together. As Mr. Washington said, the village, you know, bring that village back. It's a perfect time to do it. And although curfew has its place, but again, there's a small percentage of young people out here committing these crimes. The majority of these young people are going to school. They're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to move on to colleges or taking up certain careers. And I don't think they need to be penalized, but at the same time, everyone needs to be supported, as well as those young people who are in the system or caught up in the streets perpetrating the crimes.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is the Insight segment. Again, our focus on a curfew 17 and under for teenagers and those younger. In Prince George's County, it's going to go into effect on Friday. It will be in effect for 30 days, Friday, starting at 11:59 p.m. Cannot be out from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. Sunday through Thursday, and from midnight to 5 a.m. Friday and Saturday. Have to be out of the streets in somebody's home. Let's go back to the phone lines. Antoine is calling from Temple Hills. Go right ahead, Antoine, with your thoughts.
My only problem is, and no disrespect to anybody on the panel, is gentrification, number one, has taken away the village. It has taken away the village. My issue is my daughter goes, she just graduated Cardoza, and she goes to Howard University. I fear for her safety every day getting on that train because all these kids got guns. These are repeat offenders. If you look, and it's public record, these kids have been locked up multiple times. And it's easy to sit up and say, oh, we need more. I've heard it. I grew up in the Rayford Evans age in D.C., okay? I had a strong house. I had a father and a mother in a strong household. When I know everybody doesn't have that, but what I'm saying is there needs to be repercussions for your actions. You need to do some time. That's the only thing that's going to solve this issue. We keep making excuses. We don't have proper recreation centers. We don't have anything for them to do. There are plenty of programs for these kids to get involved in and for the parents to get the kids involved in. They need to look it up, find out what it's about, and do it. I am sick and tired of hearing excuses, because if the day my daughter gets killed or shot on the metro or any way like that, commuting to college and back, and I've done what I had to do as a parent, that's not acceptable. That's not acceptable. They're carjacking people. They're shooting people. And these are kids with multiple records and then multiple arrests. There needs to be repercussions for your actions. If they're not taught that at home, they need to be taught that out here in the public.
All right. Thank you so much, Antoine.
Can I respond to that?
Yeah. Go right ahead.
Okay. And I definitely hear the passion in his voice, and God bless you for having a college student, you know, over at HU. And I feel that energy. I've worked at youth facilities, basically juvenile facilities, and I can tell you that at least one third to two thirds of the young people there don't belong there. You know, they've been victims of the circumstances and just made a bad mistake or got caught up. But I know there's hope for them. I've met them. I've spoken to them. You know, I'm not speaking to the others. And hopefully those are the ones that you're referring to, you know. And this is an all-hands-on-deck issue. So as far as the justice system, yeah, they have to answer for that. And I agree. You know, some of these folks need to be off of the streets. But there's also, you know, some room for some compassion as well. So that's what I'm here for.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Georgia County Executive Angela Also Brooks did say that police will not be looking, you know, to lock up these young folks who are found to be out on the street after curfew. They hope that police will help educate them. And most of them, the first time it will be a warning. And then second and third times, then you're dealing with, you know, getting to parents. And if parents don't come for the children, they say they'll be put in social services. But to Antoine's point, County Police Chief Malik Aziz in Prince George's County, he made a point of talking about some of the things Antoine was saying, that what is happening is you're seeing repeat offenders, especially of these young folks, right? If we're being very specific, that they are repeat offenders. Police Chief Robert Conti has said the same thing in Washington, D.C. So is that an issue that seems to be real and has to be addressed? So where do we go with that kind of fine line that you don't want to, so say, lock them up and throw away the key, but if some of these crimes are being done by repeat offenders who are coming out and then doing the same thing, coming out and doing the same thing, you know, what's the solution there? What are your thoughts on what can be done in terms of that situation?
Well, I think that there needs to be parameters and support systems centered around those individuals who are committing the crimes, especially after they've been adjudicated and placed in the system. But I think there needs to be more rehabilitation around that. Judge Tillerson had spoken to the fact about, at one point, there was a discussion about opening up an alternative academy for young people who are repeated offenders. I think at some point we need to at least have that conversation again and start talking about rehabilitation in a different way for those young people who are repeated offenders. Because when we look back on it systemically, you know, there's some mental health issues that a lot of young people are having, just as well as adults, and we got to keep this in mind.
kids grow up to be adults at some point. And if they're never diagnosed or they never get the support or help or resources they need, those kids grow up to be adults. And as the saying goes, hurt people will hurt people. So I think we need to come together on that and put some solutions in place, some alternatives.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Antoine, thank you so much for your comments. We appreciate it. Tonight we're talking about the curfew that is set to go into effect in just a couple of days in Prince George's County and what this will mean. Will it be a barometer for other jurisdictions in the area if and when possibly they may see an uptick in crime? Statistically, it's been shown that curfews really don't have much of an effect on crime in areas. So what is the point of the curfew? That is worth questioning and maybe looking for some answers there. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone lines. Byron is calling from Capitol Heights. Go right ahead with your thoughts, Byron.
Yes, good evening, and I want to welcome the guests as well as the topic. What I see, the elephant in the room that we're not talking about is about why do we have these problems in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
The problems come from a lack of respect, a lack of discipline. If you don't shape an iron when it's cold. You shape the iron when it's hot. So the Bible tells us, train up your child in the way that he or she should go, and when they're of age, will not depart from it. I have 5 kids, and they're very, very respectful. Because I didn't raise them in love, I raised them with respect. Love should be an offshoot of respect. Respect comes number one. A lot of times nowadays, because of peer pressure, and we're always trying to please each other and please our children, we compromise and sacrifice discipline and respect for love. And children are smart. Once they realize that you would do anything to get them to say they love you, the respect goes out the window. They start calling you Tom. You're the daddy. Tom, get out of my room. They're eating pizza in the room. They want to calm down. The respect is just gone. We've taken the responsibility of being parents and put it into the hands of the state. If somebody has a problem with their child, the first thing they do is call a shrink, call a psychiatrist. He has a problem. The problem is simple. It's just discipline.
All right. Thank you so much, Byron. Patrick and George, I'm sure you hear this a lot, being advocates and activists working with youth, that you will hear those who especially have children who listen to them, who follow the rules, who will say, it's pretty simple. You just need to have discipline with these children and you need to be able to do what you have to do as a parent to keep them in line. And so I'll go back to this, Patrick. It seems that much of this is falling on parents. And what I've been hearing since the conversation and since the announcement by the county executive of the curfew, the pushback has been that what will end up happening is that you will have some teens who really don't have any issues will get caught up in this, that you might have an issue of profiling, which was an issue when this curfew first went into effect in the 90s in Prince George's County. That was one of the issues. So there may be some unintended consequences here, Patrick. Do you see the same, that there may be unintended consequences of something where the intent is good, but the effect may not be?
Yes. Short answer is yes. I do see unintended consequences. I see good people getting caught up. I see people being profiled. I see good people being criminalized. It is very easy to happen. Hopefully law enforcement keeps that in mind as they do their duties. But it takes me back to something that George said, which is essentially that hurt people hurt people. line, it's a very true thing. And, the onus should be on the parents to teach their kids how to, you know, act when out in public and how to, you know, operate with respect, you know, towards their fellow, you know, towards their peers. But that's not the case. They never had the tools. And right. So if they didn't have the tools before, they're not going to have them now. So we have to go on to plan B.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is the Insight segment. We're going to continue this conversation. We're going to take a quick time out. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our focus tonight is on crime and curfews in Prince George's County, how to combat the crime, and will curfews help do that? Again, this is the Insight segment. We'll be right back after this quick break. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Tonight, our focus is on the curfew that is set to take place in just a couple of days, Friday to be exact, in Prince George's County, as county officials and law enforcement looking to curb some of the uptick in violence that is happening in the county. Phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Your questions or comments are welcome. Let's go back to the phone lines, and Malik is calling from D.C. Malik, go right ahead with your thoughts.
Yes, sir. I wanted to add my two cents to about the combating crime.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask, like, how do we combat crime when our community led by the motto of stop snitching?
Who wants to take that, George or Patrick? Malik says, you know, folks don't want to drop a dime on someone that they may know might be in fear of what may happen to them. Does that play a part in what we're dealing with in the county, particular, in Prince George's and the DMV as a whole? Anyone of you want to sort of take that one?
George?
Well, I don't think, in all due respect to the caller, some type of street courtesy when it comes to telling on individuals. But I think that also comes out of, we all are living in sort of fear. I have children myself, and there's not a day that I don't think about, just like the gentleman had called in earlier and mentioned about his daughter and a student at Howard University. Any of us can become a victim of homicide, of a crime at any given time in this society that we're living in, especially in the DMV. And so when I think about people calling in or telling on someone, yeah, there's some fear behind that. But at the same time, we all are victims, whether we become victims of a crime, a homicide, or what have you, we got to live with the thought. It could be one of our children. It could be our husband or wife, you know, a brother or sister. So when it comes to just doing what you need to do, that's a responsibility that we all need to take hold of and share it and do what we need to do, because that's the only way we're going to get this thing done. So
let me
go to approach that.
Let me add to that and just say that, you know, I think he's referring to, you know, what, you know, the code, and the code is, but, you know, I think we've gotten the code twisted, because this initially was, if you go into a criminal enterprise with somebody and one of you gets caught, your duty is to not snitch, right? So, and which is understandable, you know, amongst, you know, that honor amongst thieves, you know, but somehow it kind of seeped into the general culture, but that's not the way it goes. If you are under attack, and if you feel
Like, you need help, you better call. You know, do so safely, do so, you know, in a way that doesn't draw attention to yourself, but you better call.
All right. Thank you so much, Malik, for your thoughts. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Phone lines are still open. George, are there issues that are very particular to Prince George's County youth that they are facing, say, here in the DMV, that's not particular to other areas? Or is it pretty much all the same?
I think we're living in a day and time in society when all of our young people are plagued by the variables that are out there. Whether you're in Washington, D.C., or you're in Prince George's County, or you're in Virginia, it doesn't make a difference. They're up against the same variables. You know, the same things are, they're faced with those variables. You know, so I don't think it's a Prince George's County issue per se. It's an issue that we're facing all over the country, but particularly in the DMV.
I'm sorry, go right ahead.
No, go ahead. You can go ahead.
No, I was going to say some of the numbers, though, are somewhat startling. I mean, the county has, I think they've reported about almost 440 juveniles have been arrested this year alone, and we're not through the year, Patrick. And, you know, one of the issues about, you know, the curfew is, you know, the times that we were talking about where the curfew will go into effect. But statistically, statistics have shown oftentimes most of the crimes that might be committed by teens are really happening in the earlier part of the day, not so much the hours in which the curfew will go into effect, you know, 5 a.m. Until midnight, 10 p.m. until 5 a.m. So when you look at that empirical evidence, it's showing, well, wait a minute, if the goal is to reduce crime, but empirical evidence is showing a lot of that crime by youth is happening during the daytime, not really in the nighttime, early morning hours. Where are we going here with this? Is this just more of a PR thing where, and I'm not saying the intentions aren't good, but more of a, hey, we just have to do something, and this is a step to show that we're trying to do something, but the evidence shows, not sure if that something really will have the impact that you want. So what's the other thing? And this question keeps coming back. What is the other thing? Is there one thing that can be done, several things that can be done from your standpoint? If Angela Alsobrooks brought you in her office and said, okay, Patrick, what is it that you think we should do to try to help fix this issue that we're dealing with?
Well, you know, you raised an interesting question, and I would like to see the stats on, you know, when are the teen arrests occurring and when are the murders occurring? You mm-hmm. know, now if the idea is, you know, if all these murders are happening in the
midday,
you know, late night, early morning hours,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then okay, then I can understand the you know, the curfew in that regard, but. Yeah, like you said, you know, what are you doing? You know, is it reactionary or is it really thought out? What I hope happens within the next 30 days is that we begin crafting new relationships and trying to attack this thing in different ways. I want to see new team programming. I want to see us rejuvenating our community centers. Shout out to Maryland Park and Planning. And our youth employment programs. I want to give young people, at-risk young people, more options, you know, instead of just doubling up on police squads and things like that. That is what I hope happens in the next 30 days.
Before we leave out, I'd like to have you both talk a little bit about, you know, we've mentioned that you're both advocates and activists and focused on helping youth in our communities, both part of organizations. George, you're being the founder of the Community Kinship Coalition in Prince George's County. Tell us a little bit about that coalition and its mission and the goals that you've had for the last, you know, 25 years with the organization.
Well, Community Kinship Coalition started out as a grassroots organization. 100% volunteers came out of the city of Sea Pleasant. Our mission was to create an opportunity for young people to thrive, to be productive and successful citizens in the 21st century. And I think one of the things that we've been successful at doing is our annual anti-violence community intervention violence program, Hoops for Peace in the Streets. We've created an opportunity for young people to come together. We started out with 65 kids almost 30 years ago. We've moved from 65 kids to close to 500 annually. And up to this day, we've touched about 5,000 kids by putting professional facilitators in front of them, going into the schools, doing speaking engagements, interacting with young people who are coming back into the community, putting wraparound services around those individuals. And that's what we've been known to do for the past 30 years in Prince George's County.
And if folks want to get in touch with the Community Kinship Coalition, how would they do so, George?
They could give me a call at 240-300-8266. They could go to my website, which is communitykinshipcoalition.org, and see the things that we've been doing for the past 30 years in Prince George's County. And feel free to email me as well at ckc659@yahoo.com.
And Patrick, I've sort of gave you the short end of the stick here, but please tell us a little bit about how folks can get in touch with you at the Dialect of Prince George's County. I know that your organization deals with the arts, creative writing, spoken word, poetry. And if folks or parents want to be part of it, how would they do that, Patrick?
Sure. Area code 301-237-6684.
George Hodge, advocate, youth advocate, and founder of Community Kinship Coalition in Prince George's County, and Patrick Washington, a parent, he and George, of children in Prince George's County, and Patrick, the executive director of Dialect of Prince George's County. Thank you both so much for being with us and helping us out with this important conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
That's the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, September 7th. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Have a good night.